Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. And this is December 12th, 12th day in our world, 2023. And I have a guest today, the amazing Mo Abdelbaki. And I'm sure we're going to talk about a lot of cool stuff. Before we got on the air, he was already talking about the solstice and how that makes him sleep. And I thought, same thing. He was saying how you start getting this really deep, wonderful sleep. And I thought, I feel the same thing. And I thought maybe it's because I changed my sheets and put on a comforter on my bed. But we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about some of the solstice stuff as well. But I have a few announcements before we start. And the first one, of course, is it is 12 day, which means we've got all kinds of sales and special TBS on the site at 12listen.com. I still need to get a few things up, so give me a little bit of time to do that. And speaking of schedule, I should be available today starting at about 1:30. That's Pacific time, and then through the afternoon. But if you want a specific time that you'd like to connect, and it doesn't have to be today, but you can always request a scheduled call, or you can request a callback. Because a lot of times it's just I'm off the line for 5 or 10 minutes while I take my dog outside. So, you know, you can always say, hey, I'm waiting for you, and I will try to get back on as soon as I can. So that's the announcement about 12 day. Please check that out. It's random pricing all through the day and evening over on 12listen. Then the other thing is the radio schedule for the next few weeks, because we are approaching the holidays. And in fact, we are in the holidays, right? So what we're going to do on 12 Radio this year is we will be live all of next week. But then we're going to take off the following 2 weeks. So, for instance, the day after Christmas, December 26th, the show will not be live. Now, I'm not sure what we're going to do, probably encores at that point. And then we won't be live the next week, which for this show would have been the 2nd of January. However, one of the things that's going to go on that week under, you know, or behind the scenes, I should say, is that a number of the advisors are preparing prediction shows. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that's going to look like yet. I don't know if we're going to do them in individual time slots or if we're going to have one big, you know, day of all the prediction shows. I'm not quite sure how we're going to handle that, but be prepared, because when we come back on January 8th, we're going to all be ready with predictions and all kinds of wonderful stuff for the new year of 2024. So, you know, we do have a show next week, a live show, then, and we'll talk all about what's going on through the end of the month, and then we'll take a couple of weeks off, but we will come back with those prediction shows. And being off the air will give us the time to be able to prepare those and get those ready for you. So that's what it's going to look like. So before Mo joins me and we start talking about sleep and the winter solstice, etc., I do want to remind you there's some important things going on this week, including... mostly it's today, because we have a new moon at 20 degrees of Sagittarius this afternoon. So if you're not listening to this show live, that's Tuesday, December 12th. But this new moon, I think, is, I want to say it's a kind of hot moon. It's that fiery moon that says, man, I just want to lace up my sneakers and I want to get out and I want to go on an adventure. There's a certain urgency to a Sagittarian moon. However, there's some interesting things going on, you know, and in fact, in this time slot, we've been talking a lot about the moon and how it can be affected or influenced by relationships to other planets. Well, this particular new moon is going to square, which means both the sun and the moon are going to square Neptune. Now, Neptune is a planet of spirituality, intuition. It's a planet, you know, we can sometimes call it the fog machine, because it's not rational. It's more like, one of the images I always have is the mermaid swimming under the waves, because she comes up every once in a while, and maybe she can even be on land for a while, but she lives in a completely different element, in a different world. So that Neptune is our escape into our imaginations, into creativity. It's the planet that allows us to see that we are so much more than physical bodies. So that sense of being connected to other people, you know, we love to talk about, oh, we're all one. But how many of us really experience that sense of oneness. When we do, that is an association of Neptune, because it's when we understand that there's something about us that's not just physical bodies. That's Neptune. But when Neptune squares the sun, which is ego, and squares the moon, which is our emotional expression, you know, there's lots of things that can happen. And, you know, they can be both positive and very challenging. The challenging thing often, if the sun is square Neptune, is that we just feel real foggy about our own self-image. You know, things get, you know, the lines get blurry for us. Now, that can be really disconcerting, right? But on the other hand, I think it's a really good thing. And one of the reasons I think that is because think about all the things we think about ourselves. That, you know, we hold these images, we hold these ideas about who we are and how we act and everything else. And a lot of those tend to be negative self-images. Well, Neptune comes along and can help us dissolve that. You know, are you so sure that that's who you are? So it can be a really refreshing kind of energy because it gives us the opportunity to step out of a self-identity or a self-image that maybe feels too tight. Maybe it's a self-image of being a five-year-old and we're not that person anymore. Or, yeah, maybe we've done some things in our life and we wish we hadn't done those. But you know what? This is the opportunity to say, I don't have to be defined by those things. So on one hand, I want you to be aware that that square can be very challenging. And by the way, the sun actually makes the perfect square on Saturday the 16th. So even though it's building, I mean, it's there today and it's building through the week, it's perfect on Saturday. So if you find this sense that, you know, you're just feeling like you're walking around in a fog, maybe that's the energy. Maybe that's what's going on. Another thing about that, I think that it makes it harder for us to see the path ahead or to see the future. Like, for instance, sometimes we are so sure of what we're so sure about. Well, when it's square, when the sun is square Neptune, and specifically this whole lunar cycle now is influenced by this square to Neptune, well, I think it's going to be harder for us to see what the future looks like. But once again, I think that could be a good thing. And so one thing I'm thinking is, you know, I'm one of these people, in some ways I love the idea of New Year's and let's just flip the page, let's start the new calendar, you know, let's wipe the slate clean. But I think as we transition into 2024, I think it's going to be much more gentle than that. It's going to be a slower transition. It's not going to be quite so abrupt. So that, you know, this lunar cycle influenced by Neptune, I think helps do that. And also, you probably know, Mercury, the planet of thinking, the rational thought process, you know, how we make connections, it's going retrograde late tonight. So that too tells me, hey, slow things up a little bit. We may have a Sagittarian moon that says, hey, like I said, lace up the sneakers. Let's go out. Let's get on the skis. Let's go do something. Let's, you know, let's go off on a hot air balloon. But these other things are going, let's just do this a little more gently. Let's, you know, imagine this. Let's create this and let's do it through a dreaminess. Let's do it in another way. Now, one other factor with this new moon is both the sun and the moon are also in what I call a cranky aspect to Uranus, the planet of individuality. So see, that plays a factor too, because I think it's almost like there is something we want to break free from, because Uranus has to do with breaking free of limitations, mostly self-imposed limitations. Well, we want to do that, but now we're not quite so sure. What is it really going to look like? And because of Neptune, I think we're not so sure what it's going to look like. So just recognize that this is a cycle that we want to be excited about. You know, it's the light. It's the fire. It's the candle burning. It's wanting to get in touch with passion within us. And there probably is something going, yeah, I want to feel alive again. I want to feel excited about something. And maybe you already do. But if you don't, then I want you to think about that. But it's also, but maybe I'm not ready to just go from 0 to 60 on this yet. So another really, I think, good analogy for this kind of energy or for what's going on this time of year is let's get in our own sleighs and we're gonna play Santa. You know, instead of waiting for life to deliver to us or somebody else to deliver to us, to read our minds, to give us a perfect Christmas gift, to give us a perfect holiday experience, you know, we are in charge. So let's get in the sleigh. Let's drive the sleigh. And whether we're going fast or slow or whatever, let's take responsibility for our own happiness. Or let's just say, you know what? I don't know exactly where the path's going to go, and that's okay. I'm just going to start. I'm going to take the first step. So that's my advice for this week and for moving forward through the month and into 2024. So right now, let's start talking about solstice and some other things with Mo Abdelbaki. Are you still there, Mo?
I'm still somewhere.
Hope I didn't put you to sleep.
Oh, God, no. Not even. How are you?
I'm good. But, you know, I loved what you were saying. I mean, truthfully, when you were talking about the solstice and sleep, because, you know, it's cold here. I mean, you know, it truly is. It's not the same as Colorado here in Nevada, but it's cold. And I keep my furnace turned down very low. And so finally, just last week, I got out the down comforter and I put on the flannel, you know, duvet cover and put on the fleece sheets so that now, and the first night I got into bed with all that was like, oh my God, this is kind of heavy, you know? And yet that night, I just slept like a log. I mean, I just slept so good, and I thought, oh, well, maybe it's kind of like when people talk about weighted blankets, because, you know, I did not wake up at all that night, and usually I do. And so I thought, wow, you know, this is great. But it might also be these longer nights and the approaching solstice, so whatever, go for it.
Oh, I think so. Well, you're in the desert, aren't you?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think I went to Cairo. Well, I was in Cairo, but I was in Cairo when I was 18, and that's when I was, you know, you're more conscious when you're a little older, and no, when I was 18, I was not conscious of much of anything, but it was cold at night.
Yes.
It was really cold, and during the day, it would be quite pleasant. It'd be in the, you know, 70s, uh-huh. And even hotter, but when the sun went down, it got icy. And not icy, really, ice, but it got very, very cold.
Right.
And it was amazing how cold it got. And so you would, and they had like woolen, you know, pajamas. And I'm allergic to wool. I mean, I can't wear it. It makes me itch like crazy. But I craved it. I'd say, fine, lay it on me, you know, and get under the covers. And so, yeah, no, so I can see how it would be really cold there. What is it during the day about?
Well, actually, this week it has been cold. I mean, it's only been in the 50s and maybe very, very low 60s. Which, I mean, you know, compared to Denver, if you're down around, you know, 16 degrees or in the 30s, you go, oh, that's pretty cold. But still, you know, when I'm sitting outside now, I'm always making sure I'm in the sun. Because it does feel too cold to be outside and not in the sun or not walking.
Right.
But then it is getting into the high 30s at night.
Well, it's all
so, yeah, it really dips down, you know.
I remember living in Louisiana and it would get, you know, I mean, Christmas down there was sometimes in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And that was pretty nice. But then when it would get down, sometimes we have a cold snap down there. And I mean, it would be terrible because pipes would freeze. If it got down below freezing, it was disastrous, you know, mm-hmm. because no one expected it.
Right.
I remember I was on campus once and it actually snowed and there were 500 accidents. It was just a tiny bit of snow. I mean, it was maybe a quarter of an inch, less mm-hmm. than that. And there were 500 accidents in half an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Because no one knew how to drive on it yet.
That's right.
So, no, but it is cold. I mean, it's not that cold today. It's going to get in up to about 36, they say. And that is not really that cold. We've had some cold weather, but it's supposed to be cold this time of year.
It is. You know? It is.
It is. The sun is, you know, making a very low arc on the horizon, and that's what the solstice is about, and that's what the entire season is about. That's what the meaning of it is about. That's what a lot of, I'm going to say it, and people may get upset about this. I don't want to. That's not what I'm saying it for. But that's what much of the entire, many of the religions of the world are about, is this phenomenon of the sun getting lower and lower and lower on the ecliptic during the year, and it's seemingly getting so low on the horizon that it may just fall out of the sky.
Right.
That's what this is about. Right. And that panic, and people panicked. They absolutely panicked. And we're very close to the summer or the winter solstice. It will be, as a matter of fact, a week and 2 days away.
Right.
So on December 21st, and it'll be at 8:27 Mountain Time. So your time, it'll be 7:27 p.m. Yeah. And that's going to be it. That will be the lowest point on the horizon that the sun will ever be. And it's going to be dark. And it's going to be really dark. And that'll be the shortest day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And what an amazing thing that is, don't you think?
I do.
I love that.
And in fact, you know, I remember years ago, this is the part of the year I didn't like a whole lot, because it's like, please come back, sun, come back. You know, it's like I could hardly wait for those days to get longer again. But I think I appreciate it a lot more now. And in fact, I was telling somebody, this time of year, the one thing I do love about it is because it gets dark so early. A lot of times, especially when I lived in Colorado, you know, it would start being dark like at 4:30, and it really wasn't time to go to bed or anything like that. But I would, if I was home from work already, or, you know, I was working at home for years also, I would just get a cup of tea and I would crawl into my bed and read a book for about an hour, you know, right as the sun set, because it just seemed so perfect to me, you know, just like just being cuddly. And so it's almost like it gave me an hour to do that. And then I could get up and make dinner or do whatever I was going to do for the evening. But, you know, you can't do that in the middle of the summer. I mean, it doesn't quite feel the same way. Whereas, you know, now it's like, yeah, that sun just seems to barely hang in the sky in the afternoons.
Oh, yeah. And it's just, and it's a different sort of sun. I mean, it actually feels like it's really trying to give you some heat. It's just working hard on it, and it's barely able to do it. And that's what the Yule log is for. The Yule log is all about trying desperately to bring the sun, give the sun, if you will, some more energy.
Yeah.
So everyone in the village was expected to bring a log into the house and burn it at night in order to give it more energy during the night. So you didn't just build a fire in order to burn, to be hot, in order to bring heat into the house. And it had to be specific wood. You wanted high-pitched wood, wood that burned hot and wood that crackled and sparked. And so you picked coniferous wood, like pine. And so that's what the Yule log was specifically about. And that's why Christmas trees came to be something. But you would take a tree, literally, they would cut down a tree, like a pine tree, and they would bring it into the house, and they would feed it into the fire a little bit every night. And it had to be usually the, so, you know, 12 days, and it was the Advent, you know, they would feed it a little bit every night. And before Christmas, it was before that, it was during the time before the solstice and after the solstice. So that you would have to make sure that the sun was beginning to rise again. It's wonderful stuff. And what you would do is you would cut branches off and form them into a wreath and put them on the front door in order to show that you were doing this.
Ah.
It was solidarity, you see.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it really
was I didn't know this stuff.
That's pagan. I mean, that's all pagan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and this is one of the reasons that, you know, and you would, holly and ivy were considered to be evergreen. And they were also symbols of the rebirth of the sun. And so for a long, long time, you couldn't bring them into churches because they were considered to be pagan symbols. Mistletoe the same way. Mistletoe was sacred to the Druids for many reasons, but one of which was because mistletoe gets into a tree and it's a parasite, semi-parasitic. It's not fully parasitic because it does photosynthesis. But when the tree loses all its leaves, here is this plant that lives on the tree that is alive. And it was considered miraculous by the Druids. I believe that mistletoe was the golden fleece, you see.
Okay, now because why? Why?
Because there is a golden mistletoe.
Okay.
And when the tree is devoid of leaves, it's up in the trees. Now, the Druids, this golden mistletoe was considered to be extremely powerful and extremely, sacred. Mm-hmm. And they would cut a branch or two off of this thing and never allow it to touch the ground. And then they would use it for medicine and they would use it for rituals. And it was really, really important to them. And they would use it for magic. And so the Romans were freaked out by the Druids. They were terrified of them because they had a secret language, sign language, that they used. And they thought they were powerful, extremely powerful. And because everything about them was weird.
Yeah.
Women had pretty much equal rights with the Druids. And they were still at that time doing some unsavory things, such as some human sacrifices and that type. Which the Romans, but the Romans had the Colosseum, so where did they really have to talk, you know?
Right.
But that's a different story. But the Romans, there were other travelers as well, but they brought back these tales. And, you know, Aeneas, when he had to go down in the underworld, he had a golden bough. And the story is kind of similar, where there is this sacred grove and there is this golden bough. And so there's conjecture, and I believe it, that it's probably mistletoe again. Mistletoe is very dangerous because it's poisonous, but it's also it's connected with Odin. It's connected with fertility because certain species of it have white berries, these little white berries. And the berries, what they do is they explode. And when they explode, the stuff that comes out of them is a lot like, excuse audience for this, but it's like semen, and it's sticky, and it's they'll shoot this stuff 20, 30, 40, 50 feet at 60 miles an hour, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it gets from tree to tree. And so that's why you get under a mistletoe and kiss. Because you're going to, and if this explodes on you, then that means you're going to have a huge family, you know,
was
good because it meant you could work your farm, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really, these traditions were incredible. I mean, I love these old traditions, which were all built around these plants. It was my show last week was called the Flora of the Season, because I did it all about these plants. But because I really think that our traditions have been lost in time, but that's because they're so incredibly unsavory.
But you know, you're right. Like, for instance, just the stuff about the wreath or even the Christmas tree. Obviously, I mean, I've done those things since I was a kid, but I had no idea what you just said about some of the beliefs about why they came about. Like, why do we do those things?
Right.
And it's fun to kind of remember. And isn't it amazing? And it's quite the statement about life, about how we follow traditions, many of which we don't even know what they mean.
Right.
Memories.
The Protestant reformist Martin Luther was the guy who brought the tree into the house as a tree, not as a Yule log, because he was out. I think the story is he was lost in the forest or something. I'm not quite sure. But he was in a forest, and suddenly he had this kind of a vision, but he was looking at all the beautiful trees, these pine trees, and looking at the stars, and he had this vision of them sparkling through the trees. And he said, wow, this is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And it was a symbol of the divine for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a tree chopped down. He brought it into the church and wired candles to them. And that supposedly was the beginning of our Christmas trees.
Ah, well, yeah. Which also, you know, kind of brings up something that sometimes it's interesting to me that we come to the same place, but from different paths.
Right.
You know, right. So, you know, that's it. We come with similar symbols, you know, like we're all attracted to the fire or the candles or whatever, but for different reasons. There's different ways that we got to the same place. So that's right. That's fun, too.
You know, the Swedes for, you know, St. Lucy, I don't think they call her St. Lucy, but St. Lucia, they take a young girl and they make her wear a crown of candles. Which has always seemed incredibly dangerous to me, but they know what they're doing.
And they
I think that's amazing. And when I was a kid, we had my dad had a colleague who was Swiss, and they would invite us over on Christmas Eve to see their Christmas tree, and it was covered with hundreds of candles, and it was just beautiful to see. But my parents couldn't wait to get us out of there.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, but it was beautiful to see. So they still did it the old-fashioned way. And these traditions are so ancient because to me, they all relate back to the old pagan beliefs of the sun not coming back. Mm-hmm. And that's what Christmas Eve is Midwinter's Night. And because on Midwinter's Night, it's the last day that the sun, because on the winter solstice, the sun is at its lowest point of 23.5 degrees south of the ecliptic. And it stays there for about 3.5 days or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Christmas Day, it begins to rise on the ecliptic again. See?
Yeah.
And that's the point. That's when it begins to rise again, and we're hallelujah. We're going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, and see, these are all wonderful topics and images for all of us because, you know, and I know me too, I sometimes get into this place of, oh, I don't like this tradition anymore. I'm kind of tired. This is hollow. But it's almost like we can recapture some of these things and feel, you know, it's almost like somebody else might be celebrating it for a different reason, but we've got our own personal reason. It's our own symbol or our own omen. And I like that too, because I think sometimes that's important that, you know, to make it meaningful to us.
Right.
You know?
And it has nothing to do with faith,
mm-hmm.
You see. I mean, people have gotten annoyed with me.
No.
Oh, what was it? Well, I was talking to my wife. Oh, I did a show about, pardon me. Oh, I did a show about Jingle Bells. Because the guy who wrote it, James Lord Pierpont, who was the uncle of James Pierpont Morgan, which I think is fascinating, you know. The very not so nice billionaire, you know, guy. But who wrote Jingle Bells? But Jingle Bells was a song that kind of alludes to picking up girls, you know. So we were in the car and I played some Christmas music and my wife turned to me and said, so are you going to tell me something horrible about this song now? And I thought, wow.
You said, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, it was White Christmas and she actually knows the story of that one, but White Christmas was written by Irving Berlin because he was miserable in the summertime and, you know, or he was miserable. You know, he wasn't in the summertime. He was in Hollywood and it was hot and it was Christmas, you know. And that's the whole concept of the song.
Yes. You know, although, you know, I decided
to keep my mouth shut, you know.
I just heard something interesting about Irving Berlin is that he was Jewish and didn't celebrate Christmas.
No, it's true. Mel Torme, who wrote the Christmas song, was Jewish and didn't celebrate Christmas, but wrote one of the most popular
songs ever. Yeah.
So ever. And he wrote it. He wrote it in July.
Wow. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's. But then again, it's entertainment and it's a business.
You know? Right. Well, absolutely it is. But it is funny when you think about that, is that some of the most popular movies or songs either came from people that didn't celebrate Christmas, or like you said, there's another really famous movie, it might even be It's a Wonderful Life, that came out in the summertime. You know?
Right.
Or there's several that it's like they didn't see it as Christmas movies or something. It was like, right. How could you not? Wow. You know, it's in December. It's on Christmas Eve. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bomb. It didn't do well. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is amazing because now, that movie, the end of that movie just makes me cry. It mm-hmm. always does. You know? Mm-hmm. Every Christmas movie, if it's done, you know, well, what doesn't? Oh, Christmas Story never makes me cry. You know, that doesn't, I think.
Yeah.
But, Christmas Carol, always.
Yeah.
That always gets to me.
And you know something else interesting about It's a Wonderful Life is that it was made kind of in the heyday of all of the censorship of movies. And
right.
You know how they were very, very strict. Well, one of the rules was you couldn't have a bad guy who didn't get punished in the end.
Right.
There always had to be a punishment. They always had to get caught. They had to go to jail, whatever it is. You know, it was kind of this, the moral of the story is, you know, crime doesn't pay. Well, you know, the guy who basically stole the money, whatever, you know, the rich guy, I can't even remember his name anymore.
Old Man Potter.
Yeah, Old Man Potter. Nothing happens to him. I mean, you know, it's like he just melts away into nothingness if you think about the story. And yet, in some spiritual ways, I think that's it. It didn't matter. We don't have to go after him and punish him. You know, and
right.
I find it interesting that somehow, and I don't think they fought the censorship. I think somehow it just slipped through.
Right.
You know, it just, and maybe that's not true. It'd be interesting to look it up. But yeah, it just slipped through that they just didn't even write. You know, they just like let him go. Just, you know, he's out there in the cold, so to speak.
Well, he's hated.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just hated and despised. And like at the end of the movie, they say, you know, George Bailey is
the richest man in town.
Yeah. And that's the truth. And I think that's the payoff.
Yeah.
You know, and the most unfortunate thing in that movie is that we have to listen to Jimmy Stewart sing, which he could not do. It's just horrible. But, I mean, it's a great movie.
Oh, it truly is. It truly is.
You know, it's funny. His favorite movie is my favorite movie, too, and that's Harvey.
Yes.
My favorite movie. I love that
movie. Love Harvey.
Yeah. I tell you, I think it's because I associate
yourself?
Identify with
yeah.
that movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I identify with Elwood P. Dowd completely, except I'm not an alcoholic, you know.
Yeah, that's right. He did drink a lot. But that didn't seem to be a big part of it, you know? It just, also, if anybody has not seen the movie Harvey, that is a wonderful, wonderful movie.
Yeah.
And
you know,
Jimmy Stewart.
The writer, Mary Chase, was from Denver.
Oh.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it takes place in Denver and supposed to. And, you know, he talks at one point about taking a job on the Western Slope with the Water Commission. You know, so
mm-hmm.
it's kind of interesting when you find that.
When you find those little details,
Yeah. Because, I know. And you know, have you ever seen The Nightmare Before Christmas?
I have, but it's when it first came out, and mm-hmm. I haven't seen it since.
If you remember the old grumpy, mad scientist in that thing?
No.
Okay.
But, I mean, so just tell me, yeah.
I'll tell you, Judge Gaffney from Harvey is, the, in my opinion, the basis for that old mad scientist.
Okay? Oh.
I'm sure of it. The guy who played him, I can't remember his name, but I it's like, wow, that's Judge Gaffney, you know. But Harvey's a remarkable movie, and it's about magic.
Yes, it is. It is about magic.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mary Chase lived here in Denver, and had I known that, I would have probably been arrested on her doorstep. So it's probably best I didn't know. She died in 1981. I lived here when she was here, and I would have absolutely tried to meet her, you know.
Yes.
So, because it's amazing. Anyway, enough about that.
Well, and as an aside, Jane in the chat room said a couple of things. She did want to know if you were in Colorado. So the answer is yes. And yes, I am in Las Vegas. But the other thing she said that I thought was funny is something about when I was talking about cranky aspects in charts. She goes, I've had a cranky aspect in my chart for 60 years or something. Mm. I'm like, I hear you, Jane. Me too. I've got a couple of cranky aspects, and it just makes up our personality, I think. And speaking of cranky, Tucker's cranky, but, well, he's just barking at somebody outside. So sorry about that.
Oh, no. That's are you kidding? That is one of the most joyous sounds on the planet to me.
Yep. He's just protecting the house, you know.
Can I give one of our colleagues a plug?
Yes, absolutely.
Erica Longdon's book, Bedtime Tales for Dogs. I bought a copy, and because it sounded delightful, it is delightful. It really is. And you know me, I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it, right?
Yes, right.
I love this book. It is so cool. It's just, there's something kind of whimsical and really kind of amazing about it. I read the first story to Trudy. She just laid there. She was listening. And there's something about it, the way it's written. It's not meant to be a lark. It's serious. These are stories to read to your dog in a way that kind of changes you while you're reading them. I love it. So I just think if you have a dog, you love your dog as much as I love Trudy, you should get the book and read these stories to your dog. That's what I think.
Okay. And, you know, thank you for the plug. Actually, thank you for the reminder. Because, in fact, I was going to get on yesterday onto Amazon and look for it. And I just kind of never made it over to Amazon. So thank you for the plug. That's Erica Longdon, and it's called Tale. Can you give us the title again?
Bedtime Tales, and it's T-A-I-L-S, that's scratched out, and then it's T-A-L-E-S for dogs.
Oh, great. Okay, everybody. So if you have not heard about that, I know Mark has mentioned it a couple of times on his show. And so, yeah, I want to get that too, but it's wonderful to hear.
I love it. And the drawings are so cool. And, you know, they're both, Erica is from, she's living in Cornwall. Mm-hmm. Which is where they filmed Poldark, you know, which is just amazing. And Gail? I don't remember. I'm not going to venture a guess. But her illustrator is just these delightful drawings that make me laugh. And, you know, when I'm just a sucker for dogs, and because they're smarter than we are, for sure. And they don't start wars. And they don't let, you know, their own kind starve. Mm-hmm. And so they're cool. And they love. Oh, my God, do they love.
They do. My life would just have a huge hole in it without my little Tucker, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and they protect us.
Thank you for that. Thanks. That's a wonderful plug. And by the way, I mean, Erica really is a wonderful person.
Oh, she's
wonderful. I mean, she's
cool.
Talented. An incredible psychic, but just incredibly talented with all of the sound work that she does and that's it. And her writing, you know, she's an incredible person. So just get a little touch
sweet.
Of her with that book. Yes. Yes. Humble.
And I'm going to tell you, you know, CA, you're going to love this book. I was like surprised, you know, but I figured what a great idea, you know, but the cool thing about it is, when you read how to use this book, I was like, wow. Okay, that's it.
I wonder what gave her the inspiration, because I don't know that. I wonder
she
what
had,
gave her.
She has dogs.
Well, yes.
You know, she's had dogs.
But, you know, it's not, well, she is a writer also. You know, she's been writing for a long time. So, but yeah, but I was surprised when I heard she wrote a, you know, Bedtime Tales for Dogs.
Yeah.
So,
I That's write wonderful. Too, but my stuff is weird.
Yeah.
I write
not
weird
something
stuff.
You'd want to read out loud? Is that what you're saying?
No, just the stuff I write is like, I wrote some stuff that everyone who read it said they started hallucinating when they read it.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, this is not good.
Well, maybe it was inspirational.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. People literally said, yeah, I started reading this and I started like dreaming and then I was hallucinating. And then I thought that was not the intent, you know. So.
Yeah. That's interesting. So go ahead. Were you going to say something else?
Oh, no, nothing important. Trust me.
Well, I was just going to say, so looking forward to the next couple of weeks and into 2024, you know, I don't exactly want to put you on the spot in terms of are you going to do some predictions, but is your mind moving in that direction or anything you want to share at this point,
I'm going to do
through the end of the year or?
I'm definitely going to do a prediction show. I guess I have to get cracking on that, don't I?
Yeah.
I've been kind of like a lump because of my hearing issue.
Right. You've had some issues. Yeah.
Oh, boy, have I had issues, but that's okay. My issues are virtually nothing compared to what most people have been dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But I have solutions ahead of me, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, here's the thing. We all, I mean, it's what life is about. We're all presented, you know, we all have our own challenges. And you're right. I mean, once we start comparing, what is it? Compare and despair. You don't want to do that. Because, I mean, quite frankly, whether it's your knee isn't working or you can't hear, you've got a sight problem or whatever, we don't like it when our bodies don't work. Right?
Right.
And we
right.
don't also like it when we're having to go through loss and grieving. And, you know, but these are all parts of life. And, you know, you can't negate what's going on for you because, you know, on one level, that's all loss. So if you're having some hearing issues that significantly impact your life, you know, it's like it turns your life around, you know?
Well, it's weird because I found myself turning inward.
Yes.
Know? Well, I do that a lot anyway because I'm actually an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a long time to realize that because when I was in high school, I was in theater and on stage and in the choir and in the band and, you know, all these things and, you know, speech and all this stuff. And when you don't hear so well, you have a tendency to tune everything out and kind of go inward, which is where a lot of my work happens anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's weird. I mean, because you just kind of tune. If you can't hear the TV, you don't pay attention, and you just kind of go inside and do a lot of thinking and a lot of weird stuff there. But it's odd. But that's not always bad. It's not always a bad thing. But it can get a little bit dangerous, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well,
especially
and in
my
fact.
Strange head.
Well, and you know, the other thing, I mean, that's what they say when you look at some of the stuff with aging. And, you know, I did a lot of research. I mean, you know, I was in medical research for 30 years. And part of predicting how well somebody would do, you know, in years following a devastating injury, it was very psychological and very sociological. Those people who had good friends, those people who had a support system, those people who had connections with other people were more likely to fare better than those who didn't. And so when you think of, and the hearing thing is big. I mean, you know,
right.
Once somebody withdraws because, you know, because of some kind of physical disability, you know, whether, and especially with hearing, if you're not following the conversation or you don't want to engage in connection with other people, you know, and you're right. I mean, I feel like I'm an introvert too, which seems odd. I think here we are on radio, but, you know, the way sometimes we recover our energy is to be introverted, to go within ourselves.
Oh, you bet.
But
yeah.
That kind of withdrawal can also just isolate us from the very energy or the very people that we need to have in our lives, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. But, I mean, we just have to, you know, just, I mean, I play it both ways. I remember taking a personality test one time and I came out, you know, it would go, not to the negative, but, you know, if you were introverted, it would let be a negative 5 and then negative 4, 3, etc. And then it would get to 0 and then go to the positive. I was 0. Wow. You know, so that was it. It was like they weren't quite putting me in the introverted category, but they weren't putting me in the extroverted one either.
Well, you know, I had a thought. If I can probably pinpoint one of the main causes of much of my damage, especially to my right ear, and that was a concert I went to in the 80s. It was a punk rock concert, one of the best, maybe the best concert I ever attended. And if I could go back in time and say, Mo, don't go to this concert, would I listen? And I realized, heck no, I wouldn't listen. Not a chance I would, because it was so good. But if I would say, Mo, you're going to lose hearing in your right ear, and you're going to really damage your left ear, because I was right up against an amp, and or next to a speaker that was main there. And, you know, the musicians have, and I was talking to the musicians, and it was a great concert. I mean, it was one of their best, I think. And I found myself yesterday thinking, God, why didn't I follow the Grateful Dead around for a few months, you know? And I thought, what's wrong with me? But, and so you realize that even if you had known, even if I had known, Mo, when you're in your, you know, when you're in your later years, you may lose a lot of your hearing. You know, I probably would have done it anyway.
Yeah.
And how stupid is that?
Well,
that's pretty dumb.
Yeah, except why criticize it now? Why judge it now? You know.
But it's that's what I do. But it was a great concert.
Yes, that's right. You've got an incredible memory.
I was up against the stage, and the mosh pit was behind me. It was really something. I mean, so I think life, but that's what life is. Life is about grabbing. I mean, there are people who lose their hearing working in a factory, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I lost it at an X concert, you know.
Yeah.
Some of it, not all of it. I did other stupid things too.
Well, and it's a natural, I don't know if it's natural, but it's certainly often associated with aging, but it's also associated with things that we've done.
Much of it is aging, they say, and genetic. My grandmother had a hearing problem. So, I'm alive.
Yeah, that's right. And as we get to the end of the show, I want to point out a couple of things that people are posting in our private chat room over on Facebook. So if that's not something you do, we do that during the live shows. It's a private group. But Charlene has a quote from Harvey, and it's, "In this world, Elwood, you must be oh so smart or oh so pleasant. Well, for years, I was smart. I recommend pleasant. You may quote me."
And you may quote me. That's my favorite line from the movie, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Charlene, thank you.
Yeah, that's really good. And then also,
she said, "Elwood." She always called me Elwood.
Yeah.
That line.
It's such a good movie. But also, thanks to Jay Varvel, not only for producing the show today and throughout this entire year, but he posted the link to Erica's book on Amazon. So there again, if somebody wants to find that Bedtime Tales for Dogs, easy way, just go over into the chat room, you know, that private radio group that we've got, and there is a link. So, Jay, thank you for doing that for us. So
I got to say something about Jay.
Yeah?
He is a cool guy.
Yes.
He's a good guy.
Yes.
He really is. I'm getting old. Old guys do this. He is a wonderful guy. And you're pretty wonderful too, CA. You really are.
Thank you. Thanks. So, some other stuff was running through my head, but in any case, thank you for the compliment.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Sure. It's true. It's true. People don't, you know, we're living in a really creepy time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm an optimist. I think that everything's going to be fine, and I keep saying that, and I mean it. But this is a weird time, and we have to admit it. We have to acknowledge it. But there are good people in the world, and I think it's really important to acknowledge those who are good and to hang out with those that we like, that we know are good for us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people. I've been looking back at a lot of my so-called friends when I was growing up, and I hung out with some real creeps, you know. And I don't know, and I think that's just the way we were. The 70s were weird. I mean, I had some really good friends too, but unfortunately, a lot of them are gone.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them were gone. There was a guy I loved like a brother. Boy, he was a wonderful guy. And he died pretty well. I had one friend who died at 19. He was one of the sweetest guys I ever met. And I had another one died, oh, a while ago. And you just say, what in the world? But I'm still here, and I believe in doing good, and I believe in spreading good. And I think that that's the point of being on this planet, is to help. You know, like Jacob Marley said to Ebenezer Scrooge, business, mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. You know, that's what I feel. Yeah. That's what I believe.
Yeah. Another wonderful priceless Christmas story. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for ending the show on those words. Do you have any other words about what you're going to be up to in the next couple of weeks? Where can people find you? You have two more shows, a show this week and next week. So what else do you want people to know?
No, just that, be good to each other. Goodness sake. When you're at the grocery store, try and give people a smile. I have seen the sourest faces in the world lately. I don't understand it. This is the season. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Come on. Give them a smile. It's not that hard. People are glowering. I don't get it.
Well, they're scared. They're scared.
Yeah, but yeah. And fear turns into anger, and we don't want that. Don't let it concretize into something that's going to be bad. You're alive. This is a wonderful time of the year. The sun will rise.
That's so right.
Come out tomorrow.
The sun will come back.
Yeah. Yeah. So be happy. I'm doing what I'm doing. I can't do much of anything right now because
I've got some issues.
Yeah. But it'll come back. I'm going to get hearing aids, and then I'll get to listen to the Grateful Dead. My wife won't even know it because it'll be streaming on my Bluetooth.
That's right.
So just be happy. Be happy. And I'm so glad to be back with you, CA.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad to have you back. So, everybody, thank you so much for joining us today in the chat room, and everybody who listens to this from the archives on 12radio.com. You can just go to that on-demand section and find any show you want from any of your favorite people, your hosts. We have about 6 months worth of archives there. So Mo, thank you so much for joining me today. I really do appreciate it. I think you've taught me some things, which is what I always appreciate and love about our times together. And I'm sure other people have learned some things too. So thank you so much. And to Jay Varvel, thank you for being here today. And I would encourage everybody to keep it tuned to 12 Radio. Kelly is up next with her show Empowerment. Now, ordinarily, I join her on this Tuesday, but we've decided to postpone that until next week. So our meeting of the minds will be next week on December 19th, our last show of the year together. But meanwhile, you can find Kelly right after me, Empowerment. And then, you know, it's 1-2 day. So if you want to check in with one of your favorite advisors, please do that. This is always a good day to, like I said, find the sales, get TBSs, or, you know, buy those and use them some other time if you don't want to use them today. Or just get, you know, take advantage of the random pricing on 12listen.com. I will be there. Like I said, I'm scheduled till about 1:30 Pacific time, and then I will be available. So you'll see me get turned on 12listen. So everybody, thanks. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, Mo Abdelbaki, on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way you think of life and of this world.